Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry, get that inside word on what's happening right now, what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. Now, buying a house, one of the biggest financial commitments most people will make, no question about it. And unless you are born into a family of multimillionaires, you're gonna need a mortgage to help you buy it. But there is a trick, in that there are different ways you can pay off that mortgage, and different strategies in different situations can knock literally years off your repayment time. I'm not joking, it can be a huge difference. Freedom, years earlier, thousands of dollars saved. So I'm bringing in a favorite of the pod, Katie Wesney from Enable Me. Making Sense has partnered up with Enable Me to get you the strategies for reaching financial freedom faster. Whether you're wanting to get mortgage free or grow your wealth through investments, they've got the team to help you. Head to their website to learn more. Visit enable.me today. Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission. And for KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of different approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a difference to the lives of their customers. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Thanks so much for coming in, Katie. Look, we love having you on. When people are looking at structuring the mortgage, what are you factoring into all of this? We've got different money goals. Does your personality factor into this? What are the layers when we're starting on this that you'll bring into the picture?
Your structure should match your goals and how you behave with money. We always say to our clients that financial success formula, 80% is around behavior, 20% is around strategy. So when we look at that mortgage piece, for example, someone who's focused on flexibility, like maybe planning a renovation or thinking about investing, having a baby, you might need access to funds. That's a different strategy than someone just focused on paying it off fast. And your personality really matters. If you're someone who gets tempted by access to money, a revolving credit can become a very expensive overdraft. But if you're disciplined and like to be in control, it can work beautifully. But again, that structural design and personality, it can work for you regardless. So I think about lots of my shopper clients who find it easier to shop than not. A revolving credit might still work for them, but we structure it a little bit differently. So we say we have it off to the side, even call it a do not touch, because all those little things matter in terms of behavior. And then we say, well, what's the goal? Let's feed that goal or excess cash flow over to that revolving credit, but we're still in control elsewhere.
That is such a good point, because often people will talk to me about different ways that they handle their money, and you can tell that they're ready to be judged, that they're a little bit worried that I'm going to be like, oh, that's a terrible idea, you're a very naughty person. And I often think it actually doesn't matter necessarily. Oh, it does, but not so much as people expect. What your personality is and what you're doing, what matters is that you're honest about it and that you build a system around that, right?
Absolutely. And also knowing of a day, there are different versions of yourself. So I think about me. So 9 o'clock in the morning, Katie has willpower. She's quite focused. Less so the 3 p.m. version of myself when I'm flying out of the door from work. I'm going to pick up my kids at school. It's raining because there's a kink in the matrix, which means that if it's going to rain, it's going to rain at 3 o'clock. So that puts pressure on you. And again, if you have that better structure that reflects that, you just be better. And again, it's not about that mythical perfect version of you, because that just doesn't exist. And I think you've got to acknowledge that, be kind to yourself, but as you said, have that structure that's going to support you in that moments when you're stressed and you're tired, the kids are screaming, etc.
Okay, you mentioned revolving credit earlier, and I know. I mean, one of the most popular episodes on this is the previous episode you and I did on revolving credit last year. So 9th of October, 2024, the underrated way to pay off the mortgage early. So do check that out. I do apologize, my lovely YouTube listeners. That one isn't on YouTube. It's just on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the other places. But it is an absolute cracker of an episode if you want to really get into the skin of revolving credit, because we did. Revolving credit. Give me a super quick definition of what it is. And also, it's polarizing, right? Because some people swear by it to pay off the mortgage faster and other people hate it. So what is it? Why is it so polarizing?
So true, Francis. So revolving credit is like a giant overdraft. Your income goes into it and you only pay interest on the amount you owe. In essence, if you keep the balance low or you pay off the amount that's in there in a calendar year, you can save heaps on interest. The catch, you need discipline. If you're the type to spend what's available, it can backfire fast. So that means, again, you've got to have controls around it. And I think that's why it's polarizing. It either works brilliantly or blows out. And I've seen it blow out more often than not if it's attached to a credit card, whereby it's a little bit more tempting to spend money. You never know where you're at. So that, again, feeds into having that environment that might not serve you in the future.
Yes, exactly. I think the key with revolving credit, it makes it easier to pay off. It also can be easier to spend. That you've just, it's making things easy from both ends. So like you say, hack the system a little. Make it easier for you to pay more into it and not to take money out of it. Those associated credit cards, not great.
Not so fun fact. When you take on a 30-year mortgage, you'll probably pay more than double what you originally borrowed because of the cost of interest. That's probably not the Kiwi dream you bought into. The team at EnableMe specialise in taking charge of your money and growing your wealth, including how to get rid of your mortgage faster. Book a consultation with an EnableMe financial advisor today by visiting enable.me.
Life looks different for everyone. Maybe you're buying your first home, growing your whānau, dreaming of travel, or simply trying to stay on top of things. KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. Find out more at kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Split loans. Some people love split loans to help them pay off the mortgage earlier. Why does it help? What is it?
So a split loan means you divide your mortgage across different types, like part fixed, part floating. It gives you the certainty of fixed repayments, but also the flexibility that I love to make extra repayments or adjust when needed. I think it's a great middle ground and it helps manage both risk and opportunity.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, full disclosure, I am someone who I do use revolving credit. I do use split loans because, you know, I've got kids. We do need certainty in terms of we know we're making these payments and everything's good. But I also, as someone who's self-employed, sometimes get lump sum payments. I can use that to whack a bit off the mortgage. And that's what I keep the revolving credit there for, is sitting there ready for as soon as I've got a lump sum, jumping on there. As soon as I've got a lump sum, chuck it in again. But, it is very dependent on those factors of I want a bit of certainty because I've got the kids. I have the lump sum payments coming in because we're self-employed. It is still coming down to that personal situation first and foremost and design around that, right?
Yeah, and I think that revolving credit, when used well in terms of structure and plan, what I love about it, particularly for my self-employed clients like yourself, is that it can help you be a little bit more resilient because you have a buffer available to you within that. So you can capture the positive benefits of doing well, but of the next month when you might be doing not so well, you might be able to reaccess some of that progress. So you haven't kind of essentially paid off that loan and not being able to reaccess it if things get a little bit trickier. Because again, life isn't perfect. Money ebbs and flows. And I think that's a really nice acknowledgement. And that financial resilience piece, I think you can't put a price on, Frances. It's just so important to embed in your structure and strategy.
That's exactly it. And what I like about some of the things like the revolving is it lets you go really hard in terms of making those extra payments. Because at the end of the day, all of these pay off the mortgage early strategies come down to finding a way to make an extra payment that works for your budget. Really, that's at the bottom of it all. And with a revolving credit, you can go really hard on, I'm putting every extra saving I can into this, knowing that you've got the safety net of, ooh, if life changes, it's not in there and gone. Whereas making those fixed extra repayments on the mortgage can work really well for some people, but you need to know that once you've put that in and actually paid off that bit of mortgage in terms of either a fixed mortgage rate or something like you've got a floating mortgage rate, but it's not a revolving credit or an offset. That money is in, it's paid off the mortgage. You can't necessarily get it back without applying for a mortgage extension, which is a whole bunch of paperwork. Very annoying.
And also at that particular point in time, the reason you might need to access it is that, particularly in this climate, maybe one of you has been made redundant. And then when you make said application to reaccess the additional payments that you might have made, maybe you don't fit the banking criteria at that point in time exactly when you need it. And I kind of see it like an umbrella for rainy days, often having that resilience, that line of credit to make sure you can hold your line and kind of sleep at night still. So important.
Yeah, exactly. Now, look, I think we did start this off very positive and say, you know, there's no such thing as making a mistake with your money, but there is. What sort of mistakes can people make in this area? And what do we want to sort of guide away from?
Yeah, I think people make lots of mistakes. And one of the biggest mistakes is that you set and forget that mortgage. You lock it in for years and then roll it over without asking, does this still suit me?
Mm.
And I really do think another big mistake, and we've talked about this in numerous episodes, is structuring everything based on interest rates.
Yes.
Rather than how you actually spend and save. And the cheapest rate isn't always the best deal if it leaves you inflexible over time as life changes. And as always, it's the ability to pay it off faster rather than anchoring yourself to pay the lowest amount in interest, because that will actually move the dial for you and your family into the future.
100%. I had this conversation on my social media recently about how you can ask for cashbacks. You can ask for a better interest rate. You can negotiate. Mm-hmm. You can negotiate so much more than people expect. And people were messaging me being like, wait, do you mean like just when you buy the house, or do you mean when you're refixing your mortgage? And I'm like, yeah, every time that you're refixing your mortgage, there should be a conversation, right?
100%. And I think also for people, there was quite a period of time whereby you made progress or you didn't, but you fixed it for a year. And every year when it came off, the interest rates were lower. Do you remember that golden period?
Yeah.
Until
so
it
nice.
Didn't work. And yeah. Then all of a sudden you went from 2-3 to 6, and that was jarring. So I think that being pragmatic, having certainty for a period of time, de-risking yourself, paying it off faster if you can, that's going to serve you. It's not lock and leave. You need to be flexing it as life flexes, and always making sure you are being honest with yourself and making sure that that mortgage structure suits where you are right now.
Yeah, 100%. Look, if there was just one thing you wanted people to take from this conversation in terms of they're thinking about that mortgage structure, they're trying to get ahead a little bit quicker, what would be your number one thing you want people to remember?
I think that there's no one size that fits all. The best structure is the one that supports your life, your habits, and your financial goals. And it really should help you sleep at night, not stress you out, and it should change as your life changes.
Yes, absolutely. Anytime that it comes up for a refix or whatever, have a little check-in on it because it's so important. Thank you so much. That's Katie Wesney from Enable Me giving us brilliant insights as ever. Now, if this episode was helpful to you, first of all, make sure you've hit subscribe wherever you're listening, but also send this to a friend so we can all get smarter with money together. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.